You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Welcome to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene, and I am talking about emotional recovery in the raw. Specifically, I've been on like this relationship kick lately, and I don't know what that's all about, but this was this topic came up in two different clients' experience over the last few months. And so I kind of wanted to hit on it because it's been monumental in my life for different shifts mentally and emotionally. But it's also been life-changing in their lives. What am I talking about? I'm talking about reframing and rephrasing. I mean, what is reframing and rephrasing? So I thought, you know, have you ever felt misunderstood, or you've thought, I thought I was pretty clear about that. Why don't they just get it? Or you're in a place in your life where you find yourself thinking or saying to yourself, you should feel better about this, but you don't. You feel guilty for even the thought of complaining about something. Now, these are moments when we get to ask ourselves, am I appropriately perceiving the situation the best that I can? Sometimes what we feel and what we say are two different things. And I don't know about you, but crazy can be subtle. It can be hovering kind of low and you don't even know what's going on. And it's as simple sometimes as a reword or a reframe, a new way of looking at something that is still the same subject. Situation hasn't changed. But by reframing or rephrasing it for yourself, suddenly you gain a new understanding. What's beautiful about that when it happens is I think a lot of us live in different levels or different categories of shame. I personally hadn't wrapped my head around shame and how it felt internally. Other than really like a year and a half ago is when it really came full circle for me. And this was even after reading that book by, I think Brené Brown does a fantastic book on shame. I had read that whole book and it still didn't resonate at all until something personally happened to me where someone I was working with, a coach, was able to come through and explain to me and provide a different way of looking at things. She essentially helped me reframe my perception on what integrity was. And so today in the show, I'm going to be talking about what is rephrasing, what is reframing, how does it help us live more within our authentic self? How does it help remove our shame, but ultimately guide us to a full alignment with our integrity? You know, integrity is simply, am I doing what I say I'm going to do? Am I doing things that are honoring the feeling that I want in my life? For me, I thought I was, and then I realized that there were decisions I was making with some deep-rooted beliefs and responsibility that the decisions were no longer serving me. So let's jump into this thing today, because here's the thing. When you learn how to rephrase and reframe different areas of your life, not only are your relationships going to grow and be just more serving to you, but your own relationship with yourself is going to heighten because you're going to start to realize, I don't really need to beat myself up over that too much. You know, why was I doubting that particular circumstance in my life? There's actually a whole other way of looking at this that I get to honor and live going forward. So let's jump in, all right? There might be some writing on the board today. You know, my husband, he helps me out. He says, hey, I was watching your show the other day and I can't read the blue, you know, so hopefully it's all going to be in black and I'm going to try to write big and hopefully on the show, they'll communicate with me if something's not, if you can't read it. But for the most part, this first section, our first segment before we end up breaking at some point, is really going to be just, you know, me blabbing and going on kind of like I am already. All right. So, okay. Reframing definition. Here we go. A process of reconceptualizing a problem by seeing it from a different perspective. As you know, if you've been watching this show a couple times with me, what I like to do is I like to just Google a definition. The reason I do that versus trying to create my own, you know, explanation based on my own understanding is to kind of just say, here's what they say it is. Here's a probably a research definition of this word. I give it to you because I want you to determine on your own what this is for you. And by the end of the show, you should be able to do that. So we're starting out with reframing definition. So once again, a process of reconceptualizing a problem by seeing it from a different perspective, altering the conceptual or emotional context of a problem often serves to alter perceptions of the problem's difficulty and to open up possibilities for solving it. Yeah. How many times in your life have you had a shift in perception? I mean, isn't that really what growth is all about? Isn't it really about understanding our crazy? The whole reason in understanding our crazy or the depths to which we can go is that we want to be able to shift before we go down the dark tunnel. I mean, isn't that what this whole show is all about? About really understanding yourself on a whole other level so that you can provide new perspectives for yourself so that you don't have to go all the way down into deep, ugly emotional states of being that don't serve you. And so when we're talking about the reframing in this definition, I love that it's or emotional altering of an emotional context of a problem, which serves to alter perceptions of the problem's difficulty and to open up possibilities in solving it. And yes, I will be giving examples of how do we reframe, what is a reframe, and you know, more examples of it. All right, okay, what's next? Rephrasing definition. Rewording a personal repeated statement so it better aligns with your integrity and your self-worth. Rephrasing is for the individual to come up with a new way of explaining a situation. And I'm going to take that just a little bit further. Rephrasing can be highly impactful with not only coming up with a new way of explaining a situation, but coming up with a new way about feeling about a situation. I mean, our emotions are feelings, right? We're going to think, we're going to feel, we're going to have this emotion as a result. So rephrasing is a new way of having a of explaining a situation, but to emotionally feel better about it, you know. And this one, I have some great stories around this. As far as the actual, you know, the honor I get in working with clients is watching the shift occur when a potential reframe or rephrase alters how they've been looking at something. The circumstance doesn't change. Their relationships don't change. It's just a little tweak in looking at it just a little bit differently. And what I have come to find when working with clients, ultimately, the base of this is real. We just don't know what words to use, people. We just don't. I don't think any of us were, you know, raised in households or in, I don't know about you guys. I mean, some people are extremely articulate. My ex-husband's one of them. I remember growing up, I remember when I first met him, he would constantly correct my vocabulary. And trust me, when I got on camera and I started speaking publicly and I started, you know, teaching groups, every now and then you'll hear me be like, I'm not going to apologize for the grammar errors that are going to occur. Hopefully, you're going to feel this presentation or feel this discussion more than you're going to be critiquing on the words I use. Because I got to tell you, I didn't study a dictionary. As much as I love wordplay, I can stumble over words when it comes to communication. Because what happens with communication when you are trying to effectively express how you feel to somebody else, what happens? I'm kind of jumping the gun here a little bit, but what happens is we get caught up in what the other person's going to think of us. We might get caught up in the fear of, will they leave us? We might get caught up in the fear or the intimidation of, what can they hold over me? Think about professional relationships. We get caught up in the fear of, what if I'm not a good parent? What if I say this and it hurts them? And then we have to think about how that makes us feel. You following me? All of this comes down to communication. It ultimately comes down to, what are new words that we can use? You know, I think it was my husband I was talking to the day, and I was saying, or my, I can't remember what, who the hell knows. I'm always talking to everybody. But the point is, it was like, use your words. I wasn't saying that to him, but in my mind, that's how simple this is. It's almost like talking to a, you know, a visualization for me will be like teaching a 2 or 3 year old, only we're adults. And it's as if, just use your words. And then the really, the next phase of that is, well, what are the words? We're talking about rephrasing, but what are those words we're going to be using to rephrase? I love it when working with someone, and even when someone's been working with me, and it is a simple sentence, and I will say, write that down, because it hasn't been that they haven't authentically felt or wanted it to change in a particular direction, say a relationship or an experience. They didn't know how to express it. They didn't know which words to use, which words would represent their meaning. I mean, if you ever wonder, why is it important to work with somebody in any capacity? Why is it important to get a mentor or to get a coach or to work with somebody in recovery? It's because when somebody is not personally impacted by your experience, their perspective is not tied to the same emotional relationships that yours is, which means they can come in with an open mind, open-mindedness, and present solutions, which the topic today is in reframing and rephrasing, that can serve you and help you understand, like, oh, I didn't need to feel that bad about that for that long after all. And you can kind of chuckle, but you can also walk away with a new vocabulary and new way to communicate with yourself and with people in your life. So we're going to actually take a small break. And when we come back, I'm going to be diving into, I think the first section is on reframing. I'll take a look at my notes on break. But we're going to be looking at reframing. What does that really mean when we conceptually repattern? See, don't throw me on the grammar. Don't judge me. But we're going to repattern or reconceptualize how we are looking at situations. And then I will give a couple examples of this and a few tools. So get your pen and paper out, or your laptop, or whatever you take notes on. Hopefully you're somebody who's interested in learning today. All right. Having said that, we will be back. I will be back shortly, and we will be talking about some reframing, some rephrasing, and really jump in and give you some tools today to help yourself elevate those relationships. All right. Be back.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belth on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
Tune in to the hit show, Us, Critical Conversations on the Challenges of Our Time, with me, Dr. Crystal Lee Crane, on TransformationTalkRadio.com every fourth Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. Listen while we focus on the intersections of truth and justice as we learn how to coexist, pushing our social transformation to the next level. Become true stewards of the justice that is needed in our world. Learn more at PreventionAgenda.org. That's PreventionAgenda.org.
When a caterpillar spins its cocoon, it undergoes a radical change. It lets go of the parts of its past that hold it back and reforms itself as an entirely new and beautiful creature. Are you in need of a similar rebirth? Dr. Tasselfaith is your priestess of metamorphosis, guiding you as you spin your cocoon and realize your greatest change. Metamorphosis. Lead with your magic, trust the unseen, experience quantum leaps. Live on TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene, and I am talking about emotional recovery in the raw today, specifically on a reframe and rephrasing of different communication with others or with yourself, and how we can reconceptualize and reword things in our lives to really give us a heightened state of emotional enhancement, which is a good thing. So for the first segment, I just simply was reviewing what rephrasing and reframing are. In this start of this segment, I'm going to be talking about rephrasing in particular. And I know I just realized I've got this glare on my board. I should have shut my door. Anyways, here we go. Rephrasing, rewording a personal statement so it better aligns with your integrity and self-worth. What does this mean? Well, before I wrapped up and went to break, I was talking about a lot of us just need words. It's not that we don't want to effectively communicate. We just don't realize we don't have the vocabulary for that. I was working with someone a few months back, and she was talking about she needed to set some boundaries with family members. She just didn't have the words to say that. Things like, I really appreciate you reaching out and canceling. However, my feelings were hurt because I had my hopes up that you were going to be here for this special day. You know, your contribution to my life was significant in this area. Once I helped her form a new rephrase of what she was trying to communicate that helped convey her feelings and her emotions about how this particular cancellation affected her, she was able to go back and have a great conversation with the person. And as a result of that, what got bypassed was resentment, hurt feelings, personal self-victimization. Isn't it funny? I'll say funny, but really, a lot of times, it's just we need to be heard. We just don't have the words. How can we rephrase things in our life so that we can enhance the relationships and feel better about us and really good about what we're bringing to the table, because we get heard, but we say it in ways in which people can hear us and they don't get defensive with us. Because if your crazy is anything like my crazy, if it really hits you personal, oh, trust me, I won't use the S word because I like to use that and I'll try not to, but it's just say it's a It's a terrible show. That just doesn't give it the glory. All right. Anyway, gosh, let me move on. Okay. So here we go. What are you repeatedly saying to yourself or others about yourself that is not serving your highest self? Is it time for a rephrase? For a moment, I want you to reflect. Think about what you're doing every day. Think about what you're doing every day. Is there anything that's been going on in your life that you are sounding, gosh, I don't know if everybody will understand, like a broken record? Is that too old? It can't really be a broken Spotify, can it? Anyway, are you repeating yourself? Are you saying the same blah, blah, blah over and over? And when you're saying the blah, 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 is it something that is serving you, or is it something that you're judging yourself for? Okay. Is there a need for a rephrase? So recognizing is the first step in knowing how to reframe or rephrase. It's recognizing, what am I doing and saying that is not serving me? I have met people who have a really rough dialogue with themselves if something gets out of order, for example. If, something breaks, they will immediately internalize it and make it like they're this horrible person. Or I have met people who, you know, their kids will make a mistake or something, and the person, it just beats themselves up over being a horrible parent. There is a conversation that's going on internally, and sometimes it's not even a verbal, like, communication talking to yourself. It's a feeling. It's a feeling. Anyway, I was thinking about, there's like this really cool exercise you can do to get connected with the feeling in the words, but another show. So, but it's a feeling that people go through, and they don't realize that this negative dialogue and these negative beliefs that they have about, you know, something with a child, or that it's constant. It's a repeat. It's a repeater. It's just going on and on and on, and it's day in, day out. Maybe it's every few days. Maybe it's once a week. But it is this constant phrasing that they're using that is not serving themselves. So first step is recognizing that, which simply means there is so much power in pausing and reflecting on your repeated damaging phrasing. And in the areas that I usually like to talk about, which are key areas for all of us, or just like different segments of our life, think about work. What are the conversations you're having with yourself at work? I can tell you, I went through a couple years where it was not a healthy conversation. I felt not heard. Because of that, I started owning things that weren't mine to own. Some of it was mine to own, but the internal dialogue, it was an internal feeling. I dreaded at times going into work, because I didn't have the tools or the effective communication that I would have desired in order to come in and make a change professionally within that office. And so I would carry this dialogue. Do you have anything in your life like that where you're carrying the dialogue? It's just over and over and over. All right, so think about work. You can think about relationships. This can be intimate relationships. It can be friendships. I recently worked with somebody who just has this friend that's just not serving him. But it's a constant thing. And instead of honoring that and communicating, it's always just kind of, you know, it's just kind of tucked down because it's not the right time, you know, not now, you know. So what happens is that person isn't able to have a fulfillment in joyous time spent together because they're constantly hoarding something, hoarding some thought, hoarding some emotion. I'm going to go a little bit more into that with relationships here and as we get into reframing. So think about your kids. I use that as an example. Do you have any type of dialogue going on with the kiddos where you are just in this like negative loop? Either you're pushing out negativity to them. I had a health practitioner one time. She came in. I was actually the patient, and it was like some massage, acupuncture kind of thing. And she came in one day and she found out what I did for a living. And so she started asking me questions. She had her daughter and her daughter, like two daughters, and one was highly capable and the other one, you know, was really not so much. And the one that was highly capable was starting to not go to all her classes and, you know, kind of probably just pushing boundaries or not even pushing boundaries. She might have just been so ahead of the game. She got bored. I don't know. But the mom was really conflicted about it. Why won't she listen to me? You know, I'm in these classes, you know, I'm going to the school, I'm talking to these teachers. You know, it's just, she was always doing so good. And now I'm having to, you know, see what she's doing all the time. I'm having to see what, you know, all this micromanagement is going on. This girl was in her in high school years. And I simply just asked the mom, are you focused more on fixing her? Or have you thought about how you can encourage and love her for what she does really well? Like, what are you presenting to her when she's in your presence? When she sees mama coming, is she scared of getting judged? Is she scared of being ridiculed? Is she scared of being told she's not enough again? Or is she being honored? Is she being encouraged? And that can really, me saying that on this with parenting can probably butt up against a lot of people's parenting beliefs and parents' rights and, you know, might butt up against some old beliefs of tough love and all that. But ultimately, good old fashioned golden rule, right? Treat others how you want to be treated. I don't remember when there was an exception when it came to your kids. I don't know. A little bit of opinion for me, but I think sometimes we get a little bit too righteous about what we think we have a right to in our children's lives. Anyway, on to something else. Think about money. What are your conversations about money? Think about it, right? Wow. There can be, that's a loaded subject because money signifies so many things within us, how we feel about ourselves, all kinds of things money can trigger within us. So write down your repeaters, the repeated phrases and words that you are constantly saying. Ultimately, there's a belief under them that is causing the discomfort. Ultimately, there's going to be a belief that's causing that discomfort, but they're your repeaters. And when you say these things, it don't feel good. That's just the bottom line. You are not joyous and happy and, you know, full of greatness. You're like resentful. You feel bad. You want somebody to change, but they won't. That doesn't feel good. Pay attention to your repeaters because that is you giving you a little bit of insight. So what do? Well, you start learning how to rephrase things. Okay, you start learning how to rephrase. So let's go over a couple different rephrases or phrases you can have. And this is leaning into that whole topic I was talking about. Sometimes we just don't have the communication. We just don't know the words. Nobody's being awful. We just don't have the words. In the mother example I gave you with her daughter, mom might have been able to come back and say, you know, I just feel scared when I see you not showing up the way you have in the past. You know, I'm having a hard time trusting that you've got your best interest at heart. Let's open up the dialogue. You see where that's at? Let's open up the dialogue because mom really loves her child. I mean, she loves her so much. She's going to all the school meetings. She's, you know, asking her. She's wanting to know where she's at. She's scared that she's not safe. I mean, mom is just scared, right? And so a lot of times as we get scared, we want to punish. And so what are the words? So once again, you know, think about a little 2 or 3 year old, use your words. So there's some words for you. I don't know how to communicate my feelings. That might be a rephrase for you. I don't know how to communicate my feelings. I'm new at learning how to communicate my feelings. And I know that this made me feel sad. This made me feel frustrated. Okay. I know you didn't intend to scare me. However, that's the way I received it. Okay. I don't trust you can handle what I'm feeling. I'm afraid if I share this with you, that you are not going to be able to handle my feelings. Therefore, I hold everything in. Make sense? I think you will judge me harshly if I share with you my beliefs. I think you will judge me harshly if I share with you my beliefs. I mean, right? How many, I mean, God, think about the political climate we were in for a few years and still always will be, right? I mean, we're all learning that now as history rewrites itself. You know, one, I mean, not even rewriting, it's just like, there's that S word again. Same stuff, different day, right? So we're learning that, you know, a lot of these things are, you know, everybody's got their beliefs flying around everywhere. And we're all scared of getting judged about our beliefs, that it's closing a lot of us down from effectively being able to communicate what we feel and what we need, right? So here's one. I somehow have always placed you on a pedestal. Your opinion means a lot to me. And I'm learning that you make mistakes also. Okay? It's not fair of me to place you on a pedestal. How's that? You got anybody in your life that you've placed on a pedestal so much so that you're not even comfortable being around them anymore? I mean, there's a difference between good leadership and authentic, respectful examples in life. And then there's this thing where sometimes people, and myself, I've been guilty of this in the past, have placed somebody on a pedestal so much that when they have made a mistake, I have been just riddled with disappointment, right? But I was the one that placed him there, okay? All right, let's see, here's another one for you. I am responsible for not communicating more effectively, and I am working on this. I am responsible for not communicating more effectively, and I'm working on this. I am not trying to be controlling. I just forget to ask you how you would handle this. I'm not trying to be controlling. I just forget to ask you how you would handle this. That's a really good one for relationships living under the same roof. You know, something gets moved or a decision gets made and your input doesn't get asked for. And immediately you might be thinking, well, that was kind of manipulative or that was kind of controlling. What I've learned in being married myself is sometimes it has nothing to do with me and that person's just getting stuff done. And so I'm not trying to be, so if I'm the one who's done that, I'm not trying to be controlling. I just forget to ask you, you know, how you would handle this. You know, I had a great conversation with one of my clients about, the couple, highly intelligent people. I mean, everybody's, I mean, when I work with anybody, I recognize how intelligent we are as human beings. I mean, we all have these gifts and we have these skills that we bring to the table. And I just think it is so important to honor that, especially in your relationships, to remember why they are in your life. Because if you are somebody with a uniqueness and authenticity, then you pick the relationships that honor and enhance that and complement that. And yet we will get sidetracked with personalities and our misperceptions, and we will totally judge somebody when we don't need to. I almost went off track that I forgot where I was at. So there's this couple and they're just a fantastic couple. And I was expressing to her, there were some things he did with the business finances or something. And I said, have you ever thought about he might be able to help you grow in this own professional world of yours that you're wanting, you know, or this, she's just trying to actually develop what she wants to do. But he might be a really good person to ask these questions to. Like maybe, you know, when he's doing his spreadsheets or whatever, you can come in and ask him, can you show me how that's done? Or give me insight about how you get there. Like, why are these great decisions? Because I'm seeing the fruit in your life. And even though they're together, you know, how often do we forget that we can learn from those that are in our lives? You know, I mean, talent, right? Talent, it's all around us. Okay, what's another rephrase? If I talk about how I feel I will embarrass myself in front of you, right? I talk about how I feel I will embarrass myself in front of you. Here's a really good one. There was a couple of these I took from a book, Set Boundaries, Make Peace by, and I would love to pronounce her name, but I will hammer it. Just remember the title, Niwab or something. Anyway, I think this was one of them I grabbed from her book. I have years of practicing I am okay when I am truly hurting. How many of you independent, self-reliant decision makers out there can relate to that one? I have years of practicing that I am okay when I am truly hurting. Yeah. So instead of, you know, fighting for words or not being able to come up with the right thing to say, that one just kind of goes right to the authentic vulnerability, right? I have years of practicing I am okay when really I'm truly hurting. I like that one. Here's one more. I want you to think I am capable, therefore I don't share my vulnerability. I want you to think I am capable, therefore I don't share my vulnerability. Love that one. Okay, we got one more and then I'm going to move on. I am guilty of placing you in a parent role. Wow, how many folks become overly dependent on their partner's feedback to the point of almost a parent role? Right, I can't remember. I don't know. There was a recent experience where I remember I caught off guard because somebody had said something like I need to see if that's okay or something. And I thought, well, that's kind of parenty, but these aren't parents. So another one where we are responsible for placing others in a parent role. Okay, so rephrase. I was traveling. I had signed up for online courses, going for the degree. And this particular one was in trigonometry and calculus. Now, I don't know about any of you who are in your 40s who have gone back to school and you're taking a calculus class. But for me, it took a lot of time, And it took so much time that I found myself complaining a lot. And it would be like, oh, now I had other things going on, right? Because life serves up sometimes. Life just serves up all kinds of good stuff. And so, you know, I had my elderly mom. I was trying to, you know, get into assisted living. You know, we had all these things we had to do. I was away from home. I'm in the middle of this course. This might be one of those moments where I might have bit off more than I could chew. But anyway. So I found myself complaining. And so, and it wasn't always out loud, but it would be like this, oh, I got to go study again. Or, oh, I can't do that till I go study, knowing that the studying was going to take me probably 4 hours. I mean, nothing was like easy for me in this class. And so I found myself, and then over weeks of this, one day I woke up and I realized, oh my God, I have totally been looking at this full of self-pity, feeling sorry for myself that I got to do homework, not even remembering the fact that I had a brain that could still compute and still had a willingness to do this class. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think I ended up with a B plus in that class. And the professor came back and said something like, he would be more than happy to give me a letter of recommendation for whatever I decide to do, because the effort and the number of questions I asked him, he knew I was really trying hard, and he would rather see that than somebody who just aces a class. And that made me, you know, I was like, oh, so, but what happened is I had gone into this frame of mind that I was feeling sorry for myself more often than feeling proud of myself. So have you chosen to, because I'm going to move into reframing right now if you can't tell, but have you had anything in your life that you have made the decision? You've heard me say this many times if you've listened to this show. Everything that you decide to do in your life, you decide to do because you want to feel better. Think about it. Everything. Now, it may not have ended up that way. There might have been some horrendous consequences to pay for the decision you made. But everything you've done has been in hopes of feeling better. Maybe it was a new relationship, but the relationship felt good and you had hope. And then maybe it went bad. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it was a job you signed up for. You know, you were hoping that it was going to pay you. Therefore, that was going to make you feel better. And you got all excited. And maybe that job's going fantastic. Maybe that job isn't going fantastic. But Have you made decisions, and are you in the middle of a decision that you made in which now you're feeling sorry for yourself about it, right? And some of these decisions might be old decisions that you made, and now you're complaining about the fact that it ain't working. You know, my husband and I are trying to sell something right now, and we bought this thing a few years back, and we think it's fantastic, but it's not moving. And I'm sure there's something with him and me that's, you know, blocking the flow of this abundance of getting rid of it, but it ain't moving. And so got to be careful about not feeling sorry for ourselves about the fact that this thing's not selling, because it was a decision we made originally to feel good. And so the reframing of the mindset in that regard, how can you look at that thing that you've been giving self-pity to, or you've been giving regret to, that was a decision that you made? I caught mine one morning about that online course, and I was calling my mentor, and I made her laugh, and I said, oh my goodness, I probably had a few swear words in there, but I said, oh my goodness, I totally caught myself, and I told her the story. I said, I have been totally feeling sorry for myself about this course, everything about the course. I have been complaining about it, I have been dreading the homework, all of these things, and I had forgotten. The self-pity serves me never serves me. And so I had to reframe my perspective and reframe how I was looking at that education, and that the class was extremely challenging, and yet I was doing it. I was getting through it, right? I was still disciplined enough to set the time aside in the middle of all these other things to prioritize. So in the middle of a difficulty, I was able to prioritize. Are you able to prioritize in the middle of a difficulty, for example? Or has that difficulty taken you to the point of self-pity and misery? Yeah, it might be time for a reframe. It might be time for a reframe of how you're looking at something so that you can get that elevated emotional state and feel better about where you're at. All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit more about reframe. We're going to take a quick break. And then I'm going to wrap up the show. I've got a couple things I want to talk about: emotional attachments, the areas of our lives where we can get emotionally attached to someone or something, and how that cannot, how that blocks us from really living our fullest life. So a little bit more on reframe, a little bit on emotional attachments, and then we will be a wrap up, right? So for right now, we will be back shortly. If you are looking for coaching, or you are looking for any guidance, a perception shift, and you are ready to make that happen, don't hesitate. Reach out to me. The email is growthspurt@susandene.com. You can also go to my website, susandene.com, and click contact, and I will be in touch with you. I got some great courses to walk folks through. Anyways, be back shortly.
Are you ready to branch out, to take a leap of faith, to love yourself and others fully? Join Erica Gifford Mills in her signature series, The Rooted Life. This virtual 12-week series will equip, empower, and enlighten you. This is a coaching series that allows both group and individual work. 12 weekly, one-hour sessions in the comfort of your own home. Schedule your free Empower Hour now at GetRootedRadio.com. That is GetRootedRadio.com.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B Method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene, and I am talking about emotional recovery in the raw today. Specifically, we are talking about reframing and rephrasing. I just realized I still got rephrasing on the board, and I'm actually moving into reframing, and I was talking about that before I wrapped up in the last segment. Really about the importance of being able to catch ourselves when we're going down. I was using self-pity as the example. You know, am I in self-pity in the middle of a decision that I made? So ultimately, all decisions we make are because we're going to feel better, right? We're always going to think we're going to feel better. I mean, we can say we're doing it to make somebody else feel better, but at the end of the day, we're going to feel better because they feel better, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with healthy selfishness, I guess is what you can say, so reframing is where I left off last segment. And so I'm going to continue on a little bit about that, and then I'm going to break into emotional attachments, and then we will be about ready to wrap up. Okay, first I just want to talk about, I shared about going back to school, and there was a class I'd taken, and then I got into self-pity over it. You know, boo-hoo me. I got to spend all these homework hours, do all these things. And then when I was able to come full circle and spot check the self-pity, I was able to recognize the gifts in the class and actually the gifts in my ability at this age to go take calculus. I mean, that in itself. But here's one thing I wanted to add on to this. You know, years ago in the world of recovery, I would talk about when I would be working with a woman in addiction, and actually the drink and the drug had been put down, and now they're just trying to live life on life's terms. And ultimately, in the world of recovery, and I think we're all in a world of recovery to some level, whether you're recovering from addiction, alcoholism, bad habits, eating habits, you know, maybe dysfunctional relationships. Maybe you don't want to be in a dysfunctional relationship anymore. Like usually we're recovering from something, and there's different levels of recovering. Like right now I'm recovering from carb intake. I would love to eat less carbs. And so it's just something going on. Why am I going down that? Because what I would find back then when I was working with women is sometimes, you know, in the rooms of recovery, we would talk a lot about being grateful for something. And I would share, after years of working with women, I would say, we have to be careful about using gratitude as a Band-Aid. You know, gratitude is a Band-Aid in that it's just simply a way to cover the bigger sore underneath. And so as long as I'm working on the sore underneath, it's okay to practice some gratitude. But if I'm just saying, hey, I'm grateful, but I'm never really honoring the work underneath, that could be a problem. So the other day I'm looking online at something, probably some social media feed, and somebody says that thing. And then I think I saw it somewhere else. And my thought was, oh, look, you know, people, you know, it's kind of like I'm seeing more of that. But for today's show, I did want to kind of plant a healthy seed around gratitude and the power that it can have when it is used authentically, and what a powerful tool that is in reframing your perspective. You know, when I give the example of the college course, and when I had to pull myself up out of that self-pity, it was really about being grateful that I still had a willingness to do that, that, you know, the finances were there to pay for that class, that the brain was able to function, because I was soon before that, I was going through some hormonal changes, older in years, and my dad had passed, had grief, I was away from my kids. I mean, there was all kinds of stuff. And in the middle of that difficulty or that difficult time, I was able to sign up for a class and actually do it. And I think they'd given me a scholarship. So I was grateful for that, right? So there was so much gratitude in that. And so it can be a very effective tool. So if you're someone who's not used to using gratitude in your life, it is highly effective when it comes to reframing what we're thinking and reframing what we're feeling to be grateful for something. All right, so let me, I'm going to move on quickly. I swear this hour flies by. All right, signs. Okay, here are some signs that a reframe is needed. And I'm going to go right into relationships, because what I have found for me personally and through many people working with them is a lot of people end up basing how they feel about themselves as a result of what the other person in their life is doing. And that other person in their life might be their spouse, it might be their kids, it might be their boss, it, you know, who knows? But they're so worried about what the other person thinks. Remember that parent thing I said? Like sometimes couples can kind of get in this weird like parent thing where one's like really worried about what the other one's going to think. And so they're asking for permission, or they're just kind of, you know what I mean? Like sometimes that can happen. And so what are some signs that a reframe is needed? Do you decide how you feel about how others are responding to you? Do you decide how you feel about you based on how somebody else is responding to you? That might be a sign. When I say, have you taken authority over yourself? How does that feel? Are you authoritative about your decisions for you? Or are you cautioning everything based on what somebody else may think or do in your life? This isn't about being rude or inconsiderate. This is just simply saying, look, at the end of the day, when we all transition, we're transitioning by ourselves. And so ultimately, we are personally responsible for our happiness. That means we're personally responsible for our communication. We're personally responsible for our relationships, what we bring into the relationship, what we pull out of a relationship. Like, and it gets down to the, you know, I was thinking about the other day, I was thinking about somebody had solicited me for a, you know, your elevator pitch. And I thought, you know, I think when it comes down to it, I'm somebody who's going to really point out, where is it that you're responsible for not enhancing your life? Where is that at? Because this is that whole reframe thing. Sometimes we can't see it. So what are emotional? So an emotional attachment to something or someone prior to any relations with other persons or objects. Okay, so do you have an emotional attachment to what others are thinking of you? Here's a couple signs. You don't share your real thoughts, but rarely. So you might share them every now and then, but it's rare. You hold back your perceptions of life, thinking that somebody will judge you. I don't want to hang around you much because we like different things, yet I haven't stood up for what I like to do, and I ask for us to engage in that thing. So somebody who's just showing up and not really having to say anything because they're scared of what the other person's going to think. Where's the reframe? Where's the reframe? So I'm going to wrap up with this final story because I'm running out of time. This was the best example of reframe I think I've had in the recent months. Working with someone, and their financial outlook is so well that one of them kind of manages the finances and the other one gets what they were labeling an allowance. And the allowance thing wasn't, the words allowance kind of felt like probably, I mean, just think allowance. What do you think of parent, adult, kid, or parent, kid? And so I could tell that that wasn't serving the individual for this beautiful life of abundance that they had created for themselves. But the word allowance was just kind of, it just wasn't serving them. And so a simple reframe was, it's an agreed upon budget decision that we made as a team. And just in that one sentence, it's an agreed upon budget that we made together as a team. The whole reframe happened. Any shame or doubt about the budgeting and how the money was received completely went away, because it was a shift and it was the power of a reframe and what that can do for you. All right. And I'm going to wrap up on that because I've only got, well, I got a little bit. I got like 2 minutes left. So here's the thing. So with reframe and rephrasing, ultimately what's happening is we are embracing our integrity. And so what area of my life am I doubting myself or judging myself for the way the circumstances are? Is it necessary to doubt yourself based on the circumstances? Is there a reframe or a rephrase that you can present that can realign you with your integrity about the reason why you made that decision in the beginning? Because there's a reason why you're there. There's a reason why you thought it was going to be great. And it's okay if it's not feeling the way you want it to feel. But in that doubt, don't let it turn into misery for yourself. Pull yourself up. Is there a reframe or a rephrase that you can do that's going to authentically align that integrity again? So there's some homework for you. All right, I'm going to wrap up now. Okay, because I will keep going. I got like a minute to go. So if you are looking for a coach, if you are looking for somebody to help you reframe, rephrase, figure it out, go to new levels of goal achievement, looking for the vision, where do you want to go? Call me or email me, growthspurt@susandene.com. You can also check out the website at susandene.com. No, growthspurt@susandene.com. Website, susandene.com. Social media, I don't know, all of them, whatever, Susan Dene. Having said that, have a fantastic evening. I hope today was serving for you. I hope that no matter what, that somebody got help today and enhanced the relationship, not only with themselves, but with the others in their lives, because here's why. You're going to enjoy the journey because you are worth it. Thanks for tuning in, guys. See ya. Oh, the new showtime in a couple weeks. All right, take care.
You have been listening to No, You're Crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
And my name is Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDene.com. That's Susan Dene, D-E-N-E-E.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.